Okay, so our topic is tshuva only for sinners? And I thought we would talk a little bit about, like, kind of a little bit of a different look at tshuva. So when you think of tshuva, what do you think of, Tony? When you think about, like, the process of doing tshuva, what do you need to do in order to do tshuva? Vidui, okay, great, right? Confessing, okay, what else? Right, charata, right? Meaning like you're thinking of the steps of the Rambam, right? Which is first looking through, like thinking about what you did, right? What you did wrong, and confessing what you did wrong, and, you know, regretting that you did it, right? And the final step is not doing it again, accepting upon yourself not to do it again, right? Okay? And that's also, like, what kinds of things might one do that about? Like, what might one confess? We could just, like, throw out examples. What might one confess? You don't have to say things you would confess. Something one might confess.
Lying.
There you go. Lying. Saying lashon hara. Whatever. Doing something wrong on Shabbat. Right? Meaning like averot. We might confess. Okay? That's the classic look at tshuva, is to say, what have I done wrong? Right? Like, and think of specific items, specific things that I did wrong, okay? And almost like, you know, and if you didn't do anything wrong, then there's no tshuva to do, right? Like, whatever, right? There's actually a story that's a classic story in my husband's family of when some of the kids were little. So mom comes into the room and finds the older brother hitting the younger brother, and the older brother hits the younger brother, and then the younger brother cries, and then the older brother says sorry, and then he says, he calms down, and then he hits him again, the older brother hits him again, and he cries, and then the older brother says sorry. And the third time that it happens, you know, I mean, probably before the third time, the mom is like, what is going on? And the older brother says, well, we were learning about the importance of tshuva and of making shalom bayis, and we learned that, like, what's an example of shalom bayis is if you hit your brother, then you need to say sorry, and you need to, like, make it up to him. So I was just trying to make shalom bayis, like, you know, whatever. Like, I you know, I have to sin in order to do tshuva, so whatever. So obviously one has to be careful when telling little kids who might be tempted to take your advice, and do a little sin so that they can, that you could be a little overzealous, let's say, in sinning in order to return. But I think that there's another element of tshuva that doesn't require there to be a specific sin. Meaning, I actually think that I have plenty of things to mention when I try to think of things that I've done wrong, you know. On the one hand, and on the other hand, and you can tell me if you relate to this, like, sometimes I kind of feel like, after all, like, the millionth ashamnu, you know, that we say, is like, am I really that bad, you know, like, kind of feel like, okay, like, I'm meaning I've done some things wrong, but, like, is that, like, is the sum total, like, this whole list, you know, is there something else going on? So there was a shir that Rav Aaron Lichtenstein gave, Zatzal gave, a whole bunch of years ago about this issue, and I wanted to share with you what he talked about, and, like, kind of think together about, it's a thinking about tshuva, not from a particular sin, but kind of from a lack of connection, or a lack of feeling Hashem's involvement in my life. I've been doing all the mitzvot, you know, and I've been davening every day, and I've been keeping everything, and if I do something wrong, I figure it out, and I try to do it better. It's not like I'm perfect, but it's also not like my life is on the wrong track, you know, altogether. But kind of this feeling of distance, okay? I don't know if this is something that anyone here thinks about, but I hear a lot from teenagers in general, like, you know, here and elsewhere, about, like, looking for a feeling of connection. Like, kind of people who grew up always, like, keeping the Torah and keeping the mitzvot, pachot o yoter, right? But sort of feeling like, like there's a connection that's missing. Does that sound familiar to anybody? Is that like something that you've ever heard people talk about? Yeah, yeah. Okay, or even something that we sometimes feel in our own lives. I know, right? Feel in our own lives. Kind of this feeling, and Rav Lichtenstein describes it as shechecha, okay, as forgetting, like kind of this lack of awareness of Hashem. So I wanted to look a little bit at like cases of shechecha in the Torah, and then try to think about how do we combat that issue. Okay, so if you look in Devarim Perek Vav, the first source here, the Torah talks about Vayaki Yevi'acha Hashem Elokecha El Ha'aretz Asher Nishba La'avotecha. Hashem's going to bring you to the place that He promised you. Latet Lecha Arim Gedolot V'Tovot Asher Lo Banita. Right? El Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov. Latet Lecha Lach Arim Gedolot V'Tovot Asher Lo Banita. You're going to get houses and cities beautiful and big that you did not build. Ubatim Aleim Kol Tuva Asher Lo Mileta. And houses full of all good stuff that you didn't fill. And Barot Chatzavim Asher Lo Chatzavta. Okay, this sounds like Im Bahar Chatzavta, you know that song, right? Okay, fine. It's like old Israeli song. Anyway, did you build a house in Eretz Yisrael? Did you dig a bore in Eretz Yisrael? Right, you didn't build, right? And Kramim V'Zeitim Asher Lo Natata. Right, you're going to find all these things that you didn't create, you didn't work for, and you're going to eat and you're going to be satisfied. Be careful not to forget Hashem who took you out of Mitzrayim, out of the house of slavery. So, let me ask you, how do you understand this shechecha? Like, what brings on this forgetting? This forgetting of Hashem. Comfort. Okay, great. You have everything you need. You have batim gedolot v'tov, batim gedolim v'tovim, right? And you have kramim v'zeitim. And there's another refrain here. What else do you see in these psukim?
Latet lecha alach arim gedolot v'tovot asher lo banita. Batim.
Excellent. You didn't have to do anything. You just walked into it and everything was like set up for you, right? So you have all the comfort and you didn't need to do anything, right? And that's going to make you forget Hashem. Why would that make you forget Hashem, do you think? Because like you're
right. Taking it for granted, sort of. Like if you have to work for something, then you sort of understand the value of it better. But if the house sort of appears in front of you, you can sort of forget the house appeared in front of you because of Hashem.
Right.
Not because of you.
Okay, excellent, right? So you have this, that like when everything is just there, you just take it for granted, right? And where in our lives might we do this? What do you think? You know, you can start from the most basic or go to the most, not basic, right? But like in our own lives.
Family, friends,
our health, right? Like, you know, when our son Moshe was born, he was born, most of you know, but he was born very, very early. His life was in danger for a long time. And we were like davening for every single system in his body, like his eyes and his brain, which is like obviously everything, but then like specifically there was a problem with his eyes and his heart and his digestive system, and like it sort of broke everything down for us in this crazy way, and we were like, wow, like we totally took for granted that like our other kids like cried when they were born because they could breathe, you know, and he couldn't breathe, and like that the other kids could eat, like nurse and eat regular, you know, and he couldn't, and you know that they can see, like I'd never really davened that my children would be able to see, like I just kind of assumed that my kids would be able to see, you know, and for that matter I didn't wake up every single morning thanking Hashem so much that I could see, like even though I said Pokeach Ivrim every morning, but like, you know, not that I thought about it so much, right? And then once something is taken away from you, then you're like, wow, I guess it doesn't just come like nothing, right? It really comes from Hashem, but we don't always see it, right? And so I think that's what's going on here, is like, because you have it, and it's just there, so you're just like, yeah, well, it's there, and so it's always there, and it's always going to be there, and it should be there, and I can forget Hashem, So there's the comfort that like, you know, you, where you have something and you didn't work for it. So interesting is if you look across your column, this is in source 3. Sorry, not this one. I'm sorry. If you go, skip to source 6 for a second. Okay, we're going to come back to the other ones, but I just want to contrast it. So look at your second page, okay? Like look at the other side where I underlined. Okay, someone wanna read it? Vachalta v'savata. Someone wanna just, yeah, go ahead, Hannah. Shachachta, yeah. Mm-hmm. Sorry, the underline takes away the vowels. It's annoying, yeah. Okay. So you're going to eat and you're going to be satisfied. You're going to bless Hashem. This is, of course, this is the mitzvah of saying Birkat HaMazon. And then again, Hishamer lecha pentishkach at Hashem Elokecha. Again, same terminology. Be careful that you don't forget Hashem, okay? And what's so fascinating? What's the reason you're going to forget Hashem in this case? Do you see the difference?
Because you think it was all because of you.
Yeah. We have the batim tovim again, right? And you're going to build them, and then you're going to live in them, right? And you're going to have a lot of cattle, and you're going to have a lot of money. Ram levavecha, right? And your heart will become haughty. And you'll say, and you'll forget Hashem. And what will you say? Pasuk Yud Zayin, va'amartal bilvavecha, kochi va'otzem yadi asa li etachayu chaseh. It's my power and my strength that gave me all this stuff. So these psukim, I find so fascinating because it's just kind of like there's no way to win, right? You know what I'm saying? Like if you didn't do anything for it, then you're going to forget Hashem. And if you did do something for it, you're also going to forget Hashem, right? Why are you going to forget Hashem in this case? Because right, you'll be so comfortable and everything will be fine. And you'll think it was just you. You'll forget that even though you put work into it, and you did, you planted and you weeded and you invested and you worked and you did whatever job you were meant to do in the army, and you did everything, or wherever you are, right? And you studied for your tests, and you did all your hishtadlut, right? And that's why you were successful, right? And that's going to make us forget Hashem. So what's going to make us not forget Hashem? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, right? There's sort of this, like, really interesting thing. Like, if you have everything, so what? The only way you'll remember Hashem is if you don't have what you need, you know? That's like not a happy thought, right? Because we don't want to be like what I just described before with our son, Moshe, was like when it was taken away, yeah, when you have to daven for it and you're worried about it, then you start to recognize how Hashem was involved in it, okay? But like, that's a shame if that's what has to happen, that, you know, we have to have something taken away from us in order to appreciate it, in order to appreciate Hashem's involvement. So there's one more place where it says also that you have to not forget Hashem, and I want to like talk about the different meanings of these different ones. If you look in source 3, okay, back in source 3, the Torah in Devarim Perek Daled says, talks about how the other nations are going to be so impressed with us that we have, like, you know, that we're such a wise nation, and the beautiful pasuk Zion at the top of your second column, ki mi goy gadol asher lo elokim krovim elav kashem elokeinu b'chol koreinu elav. Which great nation has God that's close to them, like Hashem our God, whenever we call out to Him? Okay, mi goy gadol asher lo chukim u'mishpatim tzadikim, and who has such great laws? Like, that's what everyone's going to say. What a wonderful nation we are. Okay. Raki shamer lecha ushmor nafshecha meod. Pen tishkach et advarim asher ra'u einecha upen yasuru milvavcha kol yimei chayecha. Vahudatam levanecha v'livnei venecha yom asher amadata lifnei Hashem lokecha b'choreid. So what is the Torah worried about our forgetting here? We have the same terminology of Hishamer Lecha, Pentishkach, okay? But what is Hashem worried that we're going to forget here? Or what's the Torah worried about? What kind of forgetting? Forgetting what? Here it's very specifically like Ma'amad Har Sinai, right? Like, don't forget Ma'amad Har Sinai, okay? So let's try to go into what each type of forgetting here is. If you look at the first kind, going back to source one, Hisham lecha ben tishkachat Hashem, you're going to forget God. What does that even refer to? Like, what does that mean, for to forget God? So the Ramban in source two says there's a mitzvah. Okay, he thinks that the Rambam forgot the following mitzvah, and the first mitzvah that he thinks the Rambam forgot is shelo yishkach echad mimenu emunat ha'elukut, that we shouldn't forget that God exists. And he uses that pasuk in source one. Remember, be careful not to forget Hashem. Took you out of Mitzrayim. Yirtzeh b'zeh shalon ishkach ikar ha'elokut v'nichpor bo. Okay? That we should not forget that God exists. Okay? This is obviously a very extreme kind of forgetting. Like, there's no God, right? God forbid, if you can say that sentence together, right? Okay? That's like a complete obliviousness about obliviousness. If you look at the commentaries on the second pasuk, which is in source three, so this was source four would be talks about this one. What does it mean to forget Har Sinai? So, like, are we supposed to remember Har Sinai every single day? Like, what does that mean to forget Har Sinai? Did you think about Har Sinai today before we mentioned it? You know, right? Is this a daily thing? Or is it just like, if somebody were to tell you what happened to Har Sinai, should you just be able to answer that question and then that's okay, right? Like, what does this mean? So if you look at source 4, Reish Lakish says, Kol ha-meshakech davar echad mitalmudo over belav, shedamar yishar melecha ushmor nafshecha mo'ed pen tishkach et ha-dvarim. So Reish Lakish says, someone who forgets something from what he learned is over on a lav. If you forget something you learned, okay, oops, right, okay, anyone here ever forget anything they learned, right? Okay, hey, yeah, what was on daf or whatever, and, you know, yeah, that's kind of harsh, right? And that's what it sounds like when you first read it, okay? But mishakech doesn't mean shokheach, okay? Okay, mishakech is like the, I don't know, feel or something. I don't remember the binyanim, but right? Okay. What is mishakeach? So it's to cause to forget. Okay. So if you look at the bottom of that gemara, it says yachol afilu machmat onzo. What if you just didn't on purpose forget something? It just like you just, you know, it wasn't, it was honest. Like you didn't, you know, you didn't try to forget it. You just like forgot it, you know, it, right? So it says, so this is not talking about just forgetting, which happens to all of us, right? Unless we do chazara, and that's why, right? Like, you know, 40 times or 101 times or whatever, right? Okay, but this is talking about like a pushing out of what we learned. I don't want to remember this. I want to get rid of this. I want to throw this away, right? And that is, that's not forgetting that Hashem exists, but it's like pushing like Hashem or the Torah out of our lives, right? And that's also like kind of God forbid. So that's maybe one kind of shechecha, right? A purposeful pushing Hashem out, right? But the truth is that, like, I think that that's not the kind of shechecha that is familiar to me. And I think probably not to most of us. Like, most of us know Hashem exists, believe Hashem exists, right? Like, well, okay, you know, may not be perfect in everything we do, but, and we're also not actively trying to forget things and to push things out of our lives. But there is another kind of forgetting that Reb Lichtenstein identifies, which I, you know, which I relate to a little bit more, and that is Hesech Hadat. Okay, what is Hesech Hadat? Do you know what that means, Hesech Hadat?
The separation of two things that are supposed to be.
Right, okay, like, yeah, so Hesech Hadat is kind of getting, maybe it comes from like these sort of this idea of separating two things that are meant to be together. It's being distracted, okay, like Hesechat Hadat or Dvarim Amisichim Et Datcha, right? That means things that distract you, that take your attention away from whatever you're meant to be doing. So, you know, this might be familiar to us when you're doing something and then you get like a text message or something and then you look at that and you're like, and then you come back and you're like, what? Like, right, you know, what were you saying or what was going on? Or, right, we have a lot of opportunities in our lives now for like things to kind of distract us. There's a lot going on, right? That's what a Hesech Hadat is. And that is not oblivious, not total obliviousness, not purposeful forgetting, but just kind of like, you know, just kind of like, you just kind of aren't paying attention. You're just not like, kind of, Hashem is not like a big factor in your life. And you know, like when I daven, when I observe Shabbat, when I do whatever mitzvah, like I said before, like I said Pokechavim every day, but I didn't really think about like, wow, thank you for, you know, giving me sight, right? So there's this Gemara in Yerushalmi that I sometimes think about where one rabbi thanks his head for bowing down at Modim because, you know, he wasn't, thanks his knees for bowing down at Modim because he's not really like, he's just on autopilot. Or like another rabbi says, I count the birds, you know, while I'm davening, you know. They were not saying this like with pride, but they were saying like, this happens, like we're kind of all prone to that, you know, like to sort of not be totally focused. And that, you know, that type of shechacha of like kind of, you know, not paying attention or not bringing Hashem into our lives, is something that I think like is something sometimes that's a challenge for us. That's like you know, something that we always need to remember. You know, it's sort of I was just learning the beginning of Mesilat Yesharim with a current student here, we were talking about that at the beginning of Mesilat Yesharim, the introduction. Has anyone ever here read it and read the introduction? So yeah. So do you remember what he says? He says something like so brilliant. In the beginning, he says like, "I'm not going to tell you anything here that you don't already know." Okay. So if you're like it's not the type of thing that should be like on your bucket list. Like I've done it and that's it. You know, like I've done it. Right, because what I'm going to say is stuff you all know, but it just bears repeating and needs reminding. Right, like we just need to kind of keep like recharging ourselves, you know, in a certain way. So he says, like, you know, it's like I don't know, I feel this way. I guess like maybe Aviva, you can relate to this. Like I sometimes go to a parenting lecture, you know. And then I'll come back and I'll be like talking about what I learned, you know, what they said, and someone will say to me like, I don't know, didn't you already know all that stuff already? Like it's like kind of, you know, there aren't often all these chidushim in those sessions, you know, and I'm like, yeah, but it's not to necessarily learn something that you don't know. Sometimes you do learn something you don't know, but it's often just to like remind yourself, like, oh yeah, you know, I need to remember that. I need to like rededicate myself to that. And then when you come home from one of those things, it could be a parenting lecture and it could be a shiur and it could be just like going to the kotel or going somewhere that's inspiring to you and you're like, oh yeah, like that's, you know, we're coming back to Midrasha, right? Like just kind of like reconnects you in a way and you're like, oh yeah, like the Beit Midrash and the you know, and the whole Chavaya and like, yeah, it reconnects you to that inspiration, right? So Hesech Hadat can sometimes be like taken care of by just like a, you know, kind of recharge. The third kind of forgetting is on the second, in your second side of the page, which has to do with not, we're not ignoring Hashem, and we're not like kind of getting distracted, but we're just not giving him the proper place in our lives. Like, I know, like, I believe in Hashem, and I'm davening, and I'm even trying to have kavanah in my davening, but I'm sort of not really feeling connected, you know, in a real way, not assigning Hashem, you know, that proper place. So what I wanted to ask you guys is, how do you combat that kind of shechacha? Like, what do you do since I think that's like the most common one, you know, it's sort of like the one that's the most familiar. So what do you do to make it better? Like, how do you solve that? So let's start off with the Torah's advice, okay? What does the Torah say in Pasuk Yirchet? This is the end of the first column in on your second page. He says, "V'zachartat Hashem Elokecha ki hu hanoten lecha koach la'asot chayo." Remember Hashem, because he's the one who gave you the koach to do what you do. So you know how, like, people usually say, like, you might forget Hashem, and you think you built the house, and you made the money, and you protected the country, and you got the A, and you whatever you did, right? But what do we usually think the end of that sentence is? But it was really, you know, how would you end that sentence? You think you did it. You think it was all your effort. But it was really all from Hashem, right? Everything's from Hashem. Akol Mishamayim, right? Is that exactly what the Torah says here? That is not exactly what the Torah says here. What does the Torah say here?
Hashem gives you koach la'asot chayil. Right. As in Hashem gave me the opportunities to learn for the test and gave me the concentration to focus on the reading material.
Right.
And stuff. And because I was able to focus on the reading material and because I had the time management skills to learn it at all ever before the test.
Right,
happened.
Right. Exactly.
So I was able to take the test and pass.
And do well, right?
Do
meaning,
well and
exactly,
get
and it's
an A plus whatever.
Exactly. In other words, it's not that we don't do anything. Like, you did plant and like water and weed and look up, like, you know, my husband's a big gardener, so like I know all the whole process. Look up which kind of disease that is on the plant and figure out which kind of thing would solve it and whatever. I mean, there's a lot of hashkaah that goes into, there's a lot of effort and investment that goes into everything that we do that we see the fruits of that, right? And it's our children and it's our studies and it's our work and it's our service. There are so many ways in which we invest and we see the fruits of our labor and we feel good about that, you know? And what the Torah is saying is, not that Hashem gave it to you. It's not like it fell out of the sky. Exactly like Talia said, like who gave you the opportunity and the ability and the time and the, you know, and the resources to do all of that you're doing. And so one of the ways that we combat, I'll say the first way that we can combat this kind of shechacha is kind of just like stepping back and saying, what are the pieces that needed to come together for me in order to get to this point, and to stop and to say that. So that's, I think, one thing. What else? Like, what else can we do? Do you think for any of the kinds of shechacha? Like, what are ideas that we can implement in our lives to kind of bring Hashem more present? Yeah.
I really like the idea that we were just talking mm-hmm. about before, because, like, in a way, like, I was just then starting to think, like, in a way, every single, like, job opportunity or, like, mm-hmm. school opportunity you have, there's, like, a certain amount of, quote-unquote, luck.
Yeah.
That, like,
right.
You got there, that something happened, whatever.
Right.
And, like, instead of attributing that to luck, you, like,
right.
It's like Hashem.
Right.
So it, like, makes sense.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Meaning just anytime we're happy about something, proud of something, like even reflecting at the end of a week, like what went well this week and why, you know, and realizing like how many things had to come together for that. I was at a Sudat Hodaya of a friend of ours from the Yishuv who had this like crazy thing happen, like totally fine, everything was fine. And then he had this like... He had this, like, a chaydak alim, like this this very, you know, this like this kind of bacterial infection that just like kills you, like if you don't get taken care of right away. But it's not something that you like, you feel like you have the flu. It's not like you have like some kind of crazy symptom. Like you just kind of are like sick, and then like it goes downhill very fast. It was like a sepsis of you know, this kind of crazy bacterium. And thank God, like in the middle of the night, like he said to himself, I'm actually really not feeling well. Like, I really think we need to, like, and she's like, I think we're going to go to the hospital. She called a friend. The friend picked up the phone because they had a child that, like, couldn't be left alone. So the friend picks up the phone. It was, like, 4 a.m. Like, I wouldn't have heard the phone, you know. And, like, but she called that friend who did pick up, who came over to watch the kids so that the wife could take them to the hospital. And they, like, drove to the hospital fast and, like, got there. And they started, you know, treatment. And, like, and they saved his life. Like, but literally, like, if they had waited a couple of hours, like, it would have been over. And this is a guy who's, like, 50 and, like, fine. You know what I mean? And then just whatever. And then his, like, kidneys had failed. And then, like, suddenly, like, and he needed dialysis. And then suddenly they started working again, just, like, out of the blue. And like, it was just this, anyway, so they made a Ciudad Hodaya, which was so beautiful. Like, they rented the hall that people make a bar mitzvah in, you know, and they got a caterer and they got music. And the music was even meaningful. It was like musicians that had played in the hospital for him that he like that really helped him and whatever. And they made this whole party, Ciudad Hodaya. And what the wife said at the party was like, she said, I never think about all the ways in which, like, she's like, you know, we, like, if like the person hadn't answered the phone, and if like it had, there had been like we'd gotten a flat tire, or I don't know, like all the different things that could have gone wrong that didn't, right? And she was saying like, I guess like this happens every day, but I just don't realize it, you know, and sort of like going over your week at the end of the week and saying, you know what, like, wow, like, these are the ways in which things didn't, you know, maybe didn't go poorly and went well for me. But like you said, like, I would have just said, oh, that's lucky. Like, the bus came at the right time or the whatever, yeah, you know, or happened to meet this person or I happened to this. And you know, and kind of bringing Hashem, it's like the zachor, you know, like, what's the opposite of lishkoach? Is lishkor, right? To remember, to kind of make it in our minds. The Ramban in Source 7 talks about how to not forget Har Sinai, and he says, "Aval yu einenav libenu sham kol hayamim." We should have our eyes and our hearts there all the time. Okay, so this is the answer to the question of like what's the mitzvah of not forgetting Har Sinai, right? It's that our hearts and our minds should be there all the time. Now, what does that mean? Like, are we supposed to be thinking about it all the time? Like, what? How do you understand that? But again, I think like kind of the idea of going back to like thinking about, again, like what got us here, and thinking back, our Har Sinai might be Har Sinai, but might be experiences like Midrasha, right? That kind of you can look back to and say, wow, like, what was I feeling then? What was that like, right? And coming back and thinking about it further. I wanted to mention also one other idea, and that relates to last week's Parsha. If you look at the Rambam in Source 8 talks about how you get to loving Hashem. So he says, how do you start to love and fear Hashem? How does the Rambam say that you're meant to come to love Hashem? What do you do? So what does he say here? To look carefully at everything that Hashem created, right? And see how amazing it is. And then just be like, wow, I guess like this is, Hashem is just amazing, right? Like, look at all these amazing things that he created. After that, you're like, whoa, I'm nothing, and Hashem is amazing, like, and then you get to fear him. So according to the Rambam, this is super interesting, like, love comes before fear. Like, first, you, like, feel like Hashem is your friend, and he's so amazing, and you love him, and right, and then you're like, oh my gosh, like look at me, like I'm nothing, you know, and you sort of pull backwards. I actually think that if you look at our tefillot, it starts like that. Like, what's the first thing we say in the morning? Right, okay? So that you gave me back my neshama, and then we ask for, we say all the berchot ha-shachar, which are basically all about, like, Hashem as the Father. He's giving us everything we need, right? And then, this is a different shir, but I think Psukei Dezimra is the, like, is kind of this transition where we're trying to take Hashem as the Father and realize He's the King. Okay, meaning if you think about like Baruch Shamar Hakel Ha'av HaRachaman HaMrachim Rachim Aleinu, right? But what we're going to do is V'namlichecha Malkeinu Elokeinu. We're going to coronate you. And if you look in Yishtabach Shimcha La'ad Malkeinu. And there's no mention of Av in Yishtabach. Like Baruch Shamar starts with Av and then what says we're going to get to Melech, and then Yishtabach is all Melech, because we're supposed to stand before the king, right? What are we going to do in Shema? Kabbalat all Malchut Shamayim, right? So you have the Ahava first, then you have the Yira, like, of the king, and then, to me, the combination is, in Ahava Rabbah, we talk about Hashem as the king and the father, again, and it's this incredibly emotional tefillah, because we realize after feeling like Hashem is the daddy, you know, and everything's great, and then we're like, Hashem is the king, and he's far away, and then we're like, wait, that king cares about me, you know, and chose me, right? It's kind of like when we first realize our parents are like regular people, you know, right? And like in out there in the world. But connected to the thing I wanted to connect to last week's parsha is, one of the tricks that the Torah has for keeping Hashem in our minds is the idea of the Bikurim, right? What do? We bring our first fruits to Hashem. And what does the farmer say? He says a whole history, right? Arami Oved Avi, Vayered Mitzrayma, and this whole crazy history. Like, I mean, you just brought your fruits. Like, say thank you for the fruits, and that's it, you know? And why do you think the farmer goes all the way back like that? What's the, like, why not just say thank you, Hashem, for, like, helping me with the fruits? Why are we going back to Yaakov Avinu? Why do you think? What's the significance of doing that? Yeah.
Because it's like reminiscing of, like, a time where, like Avram was, like, our forefathers illiterate, who, like, was one of the first people to have, like, a real relationship with Hashem. So, like,
right,
going through history, I guess, like, strengthens me.
Okay, cool. So first of all, it's like bringing us back to our forefathers, right? For sure. I think that another idea of this might be more of what we said before, which is that, like, kind of saying thank you, Hashem, for the fruits is great. It's like saying thank you to the person who cooked your food, you know? But, like, there's so many steps that came before that, you know, that we could be thankful for, right? Like, and it's kind of this process of going back and saying, well, thank you for help, like the rain that helped the land, helped me grow this stuff, but thank you also for giving me the land, and thank you for taking me out of Mitzrayim, and, like, you know, meaning sort of going all the way back like that, and again, doing that thought process of, like, how did I get to where I am now? And in the absence of the mitzvah Bikurim, I think that we need to sort of create those opportunities, and they might be the Chagim, and they might be Shabbat, and they might be, you know, I always, like, used to say, like, when you file your taxes, you know, is like this moment. You know, I don't know if, like, we don't really file taxes in Israel so much. Like, they just take the money straight away. But, like, in America, like, when you file your taxes, like, it's a moment where you're like, okay, this is how much I had, this is how much I made this year, this is how much I, yeah, whatever it is, like, whatever these moments might be your birthday, okay, where you're, like, taking stock and saying, wow, like, look where I am, and thank Hashem for that. But at the end of the day, I guess I want to leave you with this, with the last source, which is in Yeshayahu, it says, "Yirshu Hashem b'himatzo k'ruhu b'yoto karov." Right, seek Hashem when He's close. Call out to Him, right, when He's found. Call out to Him when He's close. And the Medrash says, "V'kach k'tiv yirshu Hashem b'himatzo elu aser imei tshuva shehu sharui b'enechem." This is a time, Elul and Tishrei, right, the beginning of the time of Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur, where we really, Hashem is close to us. Gemara's, the Medrash tells us Hashem is like waiting for us. We're going to read in the Haftorah next Shabbat, and at this one. And so, if Hashem is near and calling out to us, so like it's this opportunity for us to extend our hand back, and to really bring Him into our lives even more in a more, you know, more real way on a daily basis, even when we're not in the base medrash every day anymore, when it was a lot easier in a certain way, but in our lives where we're not always talking about Torah and all of that, but we're living a life of Torah, right? We're putting into practice those values, so we should find ways to include Hashem, you know, into our lives every day. Okay, Shkoyach.